Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. Today is June 14th. We are getting close to half of the year. Is this year going very fast or what? I mean, it's just amazing. It seems like just yesterday I was out at my friend's house partying. The New Year's in. But now, wow, this is going pretty fast. And you know what that means? That means new elections are up. That means in November, we decide how or where we take this country. Will we stick to farm and stay home, or will we actually make a difference? That's the question. Will we actually make a difference? You know what? The grassroots has been suffering a whole long time now. I think they've been under the belief that they just can't compete. So if you can't compete, you're demoralized, you stay home. If folks give you negative information, why is it sometimes we let negative information win when the reality is most Americans are positive people? Most Americans really want what is best for America. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you look like. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Communist, Anarchist, whatever type of American you are. You all have kids. You all have wives. You all have all these things. And we, you know what? We are so much more alike than we are different. But for those who will dwell on the differences, for those who would dwell on anarchy, for those who would dwell on creating havoc, for those who would dwell on creating dissension, it is usually something that somewhat works. I mean, think about a cancer. Folks, you may weigh 160 pounds, and that little cancer may be 10 grams. And yet that little cancer can affect the entire body. Medical science came along, and medical science ensured that that little cancer wins sometimes. But you know what happens now? Most of the times it doesn't win. And you know when it doesn't win? When those of us with the cancer and those of us who want to fight against the cancer do what is necessary to ensure that it doesn't grow, to ensure that it doesn't decimate the entire body. Cancer is a metaphor for much. Cancer is a metaphor for today's politics. Cancer is a metaphor for what men in today's politics are doing with good meaning, well-meaning American citizens. Cancer is that which attacks from within or tries to attack from without. And that is what we must always, always fight against. AIDS is a disease that has not entirely gone away. But what have we done? We have created angles of attack to keep it running, angles of attack to keep it at bay. You will never be able to forever get rid of cancer, AIDS, but you can always ensure that it does not ever control the body politic, that it never controls your body, that it never controls that which is right. You know, folks, in as much as I don't agree with David Bart's philosophy, ideology, I think the grassroots movement this week should be happy. You know, David Bart's victory over Eric Cantor should give the grassroots hope. Stop the presses. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, Republican of Virginia, was soundly beaten by insurgent candidate David Bart. The impossible has happened. The grassroots finally beat the corporatocracy. Could it be that we had it all wrong? Could it be that instead of investing in removing money out of politics, we should invest in making money irrelevant in politics? It is not that clear cut. It is not that simple, however true. We must first ensure we lock down the ability to communicate. So let's discuss that, folks. Remember, this is a call-in show. The number is 646-929-2495, 646-929-2495. I would love to hear from you, whatever you want to discuss. Let's talk politics. Let's talk real positive American politics. Let's talk what we are going to do to ensure that America's politics remain what it was meant to be. Or I shouldn't say what it was meant to be, but I should say what the body politic, what the populace made America to be, that which many today are trying to move back. My post on Daily Coast this week drops on Sunday at, I think, 6 p.m. on the front. On Sunday at 6 p.m., that's when this post lands. But, of course, as listeners to Politics Done Right, you get the first stab at this piece, and it has to do with Eric Cantor and David Bratt, and its title, Eric Cantor Lost, David Bratt Can Teach Progressive Activists and Their Candidates a Lesson. And here goes the piece. Libertarian thinking Tea Party candidate David Bart beat the most powerful Republican in Congress, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor. It is the end of the world, a Tea Party takeover of the Republican Party. The legislative process will cease to go forward. To be clear, David Bratt beating Eric Cantor will change absolutely nothing. Republican Congress is the least productive Congress in American history. I don't say that. The facts are present for everybody to see, and I provided the link for that within the piece. Replacing a majority leader who was instrumental in that lack of productivity with a very junior congressman who will likely play a minor role in governing the caucus is, at worst, an even swap. The punditry and everyone else should stop hyperventilating about the Bratt victory. It means absolutely nothing to an already failed party. That said, there is a very large positive that grassroots progressives should be hyperventilating about. More about that later. One of the big cause celeb of progressives and others is the corrosive effect of money in politics. The U.S. Supreme Court has interpreted the Constitution in a manner that has codified that corporations are people, a.k.a. corporate personhood. Where did they do that? In several different rulings, and I'm going to enumerate them for you slowly. Trustees of Dartmouth College versus Woodward, Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, and Pembina Consolidated Silver Mining Company versus Pennsylvania. Those particular cases codified and recodified that corporations are just like you. They're people, but they just are missing flesh and blood and the soul. One of the big cause célèbre, or I read that part already, the next part, as people, corporations get to partake of our inalienable rights codified in the Bill of Rights. They get free speech and much more. Further, the Supreme Court codified that money is a form of speech. Where was it? Where was that done? Buckley v. Valeo. It isn't hard to see how all this evolved into giving PACs and corporations virtually unlimited speech. Citizens United v. Federal Election Commission is where that was codified just recently, a few years ago. In fact, that was one of the realizations and reasons for the coffee party. Citizens United, don't forget that, folks. It is then easy to understand, given the individual virtually unlimited speech. Come on, they've codified that speech is money. So I had no illusions that the McCutcheon versus Federal Election Commission ruling would have gone the way it did, because they are slowly, five people on the Supreme Court, slowly usurping the rights of speech, or what's called speech, to this population, the vast population, and putting it in the hands of a plutocracy, not even the 1%, but even the 0.1%. There are a multitude of organizations collecting millions of dollars from the grassroots to fight this battle, a battle that must be fought. It is a battle that must be won. That said, it was with awe that one watched the returns on Tuesday night with Bratt's victory over Cantor. Irrespective of the advantage given to corporate money, the underdog won. Can you believe that? The underdog won. I sat, I'm leaving my blog for a piece here, just to tell you the excitement that I had watching that. Because somehow, in my mind, there was a paradigm shift. Because, yes, this was within not only the Republican sphere, this was within the Tea Party sphere. And $5 million got beat by a couple $100,000 or less. That is monumental, folks. I mean, people played this in the media as if it was a big thing. But the reasons and rationale for it being a big thing is much deeper. It means that given the hard work, folks, hey, we got a chance. But continuing with my blog. The man who spent less than Eric Cantor spent on serving steaks to lobbyists won. The man no one took seriously won. The man who spoke to the hearts of his base won. The man who worked tirelessly won. The man who walked door to door won. CNN had a piece titled Seven Reasons Cantor Lost, and I put a link to the post in there. The article did not highlight the most important reason Cantor lost as much as it should have. He was disconnected from his base. It is not only that he was at Starbucks fundraising on election day, it's that he seemed to be working for everyone except his own constituents. Most believe that unlimited money, advertising, and negative attacks can always mitigate these misdeeds, especially if one has a facade of being like you. David Bratt disproved that. I want to explain that last sentence in a little bit. Most believe that unlimited money, advertising, and negative attacks can always mitigate these misdeeds, especially if one has a facade of being like you. You know, When the Republican Party, in effect, adopted the Tea Party ideology, it was basically to neuter them and say, why do you need to go to these guys? You have us. We're following their policies. We're you. We are you. And in a lot of ways, both parties do that to their base, to their constituents. They prevent that candidate that would have supported the values, the needs of that base, of that group. And they mimic that to get their way. And after they get their way, reality comes through. Back to the blog. So what can Ter's loss to David Brat teach progressive activists and their candidates, and to every activist for that matter? Quite a bit, it turns out. First, his win is very inspiring. One can disagree with everything this libertarian bastion of inconsistent economic belief stands for and still respect his epic accomplishment. More importantly, one can learn from his method. Second, the Tea Party, though a minority, is successful because of message homogeneity and actions of a particular sect of their movement. Even if they don't win, they are feared because they might win. It is for this reason the Republican Party is now the Tea Party, in deeds, if not in name. The progressive wing of the Democratic Party is more in line with the values of America. If one enumerates these values item by item, there is American support. What is lacking is connecting to Americans' hearts. What is lacking is the ability to meet Americans at their doorsteps instead of asking Americans to see why the progressive way supports their values and their economic interests. So folks, this was an epic week. It wasn't advertised as epic as it was because this is an affront to every lobbyist in Washington. This is an affront to every corporation that has given millions, because if there is a way, if there is a manner that proves that money, in as much as it is all over politics, does not necessarily dictate politics, it's a new paradigm, my friend. It's a new paradigm, and it's where we come in as Coffee Party, as all the organizations that work with the grassroots. It's where we come in, because what this tells us is this tells us if we go out there and we beat, and 620, I see you, if we go out, and folks, remember, this is a call-in show. Number 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. If you want to speak, push the number 1 and I'll call on you. I would love to hear your thoughts. This is a pretty serious subject. I know quite a few of you are listening, but please join the conversation and let's talk, because folks, like I said, I don't agree with Der Bart. Some of our Coffee Party members do, but that is academic. Some of the Tea Party do, some don't. Progressives definitely don't. I'm a very progressive liberal lefty. I don't. But you know what was very happy to see? It was very happy to see that this man went out there and worked hard. And folks, he did work hard. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. He worked very hard because he won in doing so. Folks, the number is 646-929-2495. 620, I think this is my friend. Who am I speaking to?
It's Jack Goldie. I got to say that I am glad to say that Brat won.
Yes.
Not that I'm far apart, because Cantor was an obstructionist, was worse than Boehner was, or maybe as bad as McConnell, Mitch McConnell. And I'll say
right.
why. And I think that the Democrats have a good chance to take that seat from Bratt. But even so, I think Bratt is only rigid on this one issue, that's immigration. Maybe he won't feel so strong about corporations are people. That's another feature of the Tea Party, is that they're inconsistent in holding on to their view. Why they're supporting large corporations like the Koch brothers are doing. And by the way, I had a big read a big article about the Koch brothers in Mother Jones, and
right.
And I could not finish the last four pages of that article. I managed to read nine, but I knew enough to say that there is a conflict. There was a conflict with the between the brothers.
Right.
A judge, what was his name? Bill.
Right.
Bill and Charles and David.
Right.
There was a little bit of and then there was the fourth one. I forget his name. I think he was with Bill.
Right.
Okay.
But. Stay with me, John. I got another call, but stay with me. I'm going to come back to you. Definitely. Hold on. 727, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Marianne in the Tampa Bay area.
Marianne, how are you doing, ma'am? Talk to me.
I'm doing good. You know, I do hear a lot about what happened, and some people really like his message, his ideology, and, you know, other people don't at all, but I really like what your take on it, because I think what we need to do is to for the grassroots people, for people that may be disheartened in the process, you know, because money is just so, we have a thought that money is so powerful, and we're working, feels like we're paddling upstream, but when something like
right.
this happens, I think it really does put wind in our sails, and I think that this is something, a message that we need to spread so that people can kind of look at it from that perspective. So no matter what grassroots you're fighting for or you want to work toward, I think it might help people to say, you know what, I might be able to make a difference.
You know, Marin, that is so important. And, you know, that is why, you know, I looked at the message like that coming out. And this is also why I had hope. You know, there are a lot of organizations out there, progressive organizations, conservative organizations. And after this win, I just anticipated that I would have gotten my mailbox flooded with messages that said things like, grassroots coming back, be a part of it, or something like that. But even within the grassroots movement, what you find is that sometimes there are those who are in this game, not necessarily for solutions, but for raised by, and I won't give any organizations names because I don't know what goes on internally, so it would be wrong of me. But think about what goes on internally in all these organizations that are pushing against the Tea Party, that are pushing against those liberals, that are pushing against all these groups. You would think that they would immediately jump on this bandwagon and say, hey, we do matter. And you know what? Money doesn't play all that big a deal if you are willing to work at the grassroots level. But then you have to think, for those organizations where quite a few people actively depend on stirring the barrel for real economic gain, some of that may at some time be within the calculus. And that is where all these organizations need to beware. Because like I said, what I think this man did, I think what he did was very important in that he showed that a politician, and this is on a district level, right? I mean, we're not talking about nationwide. This is on a district level. But guess where the purse strings are concerned? Or actually, the purse strings are controlled by the 435 members of these districts. So that's where we control our money. And think about if every congressman felt the ability to go in his district, which by design, except in very low population states, is not geographically extraordinarily large. So this shows that if you're willing to go out there and work the grassroots and not go work the corporate ladder, you can actually do it. What say you, Marianne?
Absolutely, but I think that what I think is happening is people are, there's a lot of the grassroots efforts that, you know, their idea is liberal. Some are conservative. Some like the libertarian message. And I think that a lot of what I see these grassroots groups, they're, you know, coming out with all the bad things now about BRAT. They're focusing on that rather than what you're talking about is let's look at not that, but, you know, what we all agree on is getting money out of politics. And this is what happened with this guy. He didn't win with money. And I think this is where we need to be, to feel, you know, we can make a difference, because obviously it was the grassroots people without not using money.
Right. You know, it's interesting because he did some, they did some coverage over on the different network stations, and I believe it was Chris Matthews who asked, how was this done? And it was great listening to the leader of the Tea Party. I don't remember his name right now, but he came on and he said, it's a different world. We went ahead and we took it beyond what the president did with his micromanagement, but they really use the power of social media. And we're not only talking about, Facebook, because as you know, for the younger folks, that's sort of waning, but they actually use the whole scheme of how people are communicating today and moving along. And that is what was so important. So, I mean, when you are on Facebook, Marianne, and you are reposting messages of value or messages that you think some of your friends need to know, I mean, it really does have value. And when you have a candidate that you feel strongly about and you promote that candidate in your different social domains, whether that is Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest or Instagram or Tumblr, I mean, it really has reach. I tell you, from a personal perspective.
Apparently it does.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You know, when I started with one of the radio shows I've done, I started this new piece for KPFT, it was amazing how quickly the reach got to 500 people online. It was like very quickly because of the power of, you know, the geometric progression is what they call it. And it just keeps happening. And those are the ones that you actually see, your first line. That doesn't speak about all of those who are with you following what you're doing and moving it on forward. It's just amazing how is the new way of being. And that's where I'm going to want to go into another subject. But beforehand, I want to encourage folks. The number is 646. I would really love to hear what you have to say. Marianne, here's the other issue. note what the president did that. President Obama did that with his scheme, where he actually could micro target people based on all these different metrics. Now, what is very scary, and this is happening under the Obama administration, that I think we all must fight. And I wrote an article about it on Common Dreams, where net neutrality is being trampled on by this administration's FCC commission. And it's something that a lot of people don't know about, but it is something that we must find a way to explain to people to ensure that they don't do that. Because in effect, I can give a class. Let me first give a few examples of what this means. I mean, if you're in a highway and you and another person are trying to get a job, and I'm going to stop my pros for a minute because somebody raised their hand. 414, who do I have the honor of speaking with? And please turn down the thing while we're talking.
Are you referring to me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, sorry.
You are?
I was just I'm Bob from Wisconsin. I'm wondering whether or not the Tea Party can be assumed to be pro-corporate personhood. My impression is that... Well, can you elaborate on that? And to what other extents that, you know, progressive agendas is shared by the Tea Party values? I mean, if they're not for corporate personhood, and I also believe they're not necessarily for money in politics, it would seem to be we're natural allies, but we don't seem to be able to talk to each other because of other elements of the progressive agenda which sort of alienate us. Would you care to
Can I call you
speak
a genius?
To that for a while?
Can I call you a genius?
No, I don't think
because
that's appropriate.
Let me tell you what I mean by that. You're absolutely correct. Okay, and the reason why that is the case is that the Tea Party proper was taken over by, or I should say was usurped, and also taken over by a sect of the Republican Party to actually make it sort of an arm of the corporatocracy. And you have to be careful of what you call the Tea Party, okay? Now, there's a sect of the Tea Party that is very libertarian. There's a sect of the Tea Party that is pretty darn progressive, and there's a sect of the Tea Party that is just that's just corporatist. There are three different sects, and I tell you, here in Kingwood, where I live, this sect here has members in every single one of those flavors, and that is one of the reasons why you can't get a lot of times the commonality between progressive values and the Tea Party. Now, let's be frank. The Tea Party believes in much smaller government than progressives do. They are more libertarian in nature. In other words, they are more individualistic than left-wingers like myself, or even right-wingers like, let's say McConnell and these guys. Because whereas lefties in general want more social programs for the needy, and believe in providing more of that type of safety net, right? The true McConnell-type right-wingers believe the same thing, but their social safety net is towards, let's say, the corporatocracy. What kind of welfare am I talking about? Given, let's say, an oil company depletion allowance. In other words, the carbon in the ground, the oil in the ground, and all these minerals that nobody made, the mighty creator or the supreme being or whatever or whatever put in the ground, we allow corporations to remove the value of these items at no cost or at little cost, in as much as it is the right of the entire country or it belongs to the entire country. They provide a safety net for that. They provide, let's look at a nuclear industry. A nuclear industry couldn't exist in its current form if the government did not guarantee that they did not have unlimited liability. That's a gift to that industry. In other words, if something crazy happens and they blow up the world, that corporation is well protected. So the Tea Party believes in neither one of those, but the Tea Party mostly does not believe that the corporate entity should have personhood. The Tea Party proper doesn't believe that the corporate entity should have those inalienable rights. Bob?
Yes. Well, that's good. I was just wondering what can be done to identify those issues of the progressive agenda which are unacceptable to the Tea Party independents, and what did we do? I mean, do we just shut up about welfare issues? Do we just shut up about immigration? What's the mechanism?
I don't think we have to. I don't think we have to. I think we have to start talking to people's hearts. And what I mean by that is as follows. And I try to lay some of that in the post that I did on Daily Coast, but I may not be as effective as I needed to be. What happens with progressives in general is that we tend to be very technical. I mean, there are times I find myself saying things like, I only believe numbers. I'm an engineer by training, you know. I'm a mechanical engineer and software engineer, and all the things that I believe in are numerically based. And in doing so, I used to fail to realize that most people don't think that way. A lot of progressives do think that way. So it's not enough to say we want to have a strong safety net. We have to put that in the context of how even those people in the Tea Party today, I remember watching Tea Party members at their rallies talking about issues that were on Social Security, and I have interviews where I have it on CNN I Report where I've asked, do you want to give up your Social Security? And they say, no, I pay into that. You ask them, do you want, if you're out of a job, to give up your unemployment compensation? And the answer is no. Why is that the case then that they don't think they want the things that progressive want? Because of the way I think we present it. And to some extent, I think it has to do with a certain type of elitism that live within the progressive progressive side of the equation. Well, I'm not talking about grassroots progressives, but I'm talking about those that are promoting the progressive message. But stay with me, Bob. I'm leaving you hot, but I want to bring in my friend from San Antonio. John, how are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I was trying to pick up your show. Did you have some technical problems at the beginning, or was that just me?
Not that I know of. Weren't you able to reach it, or what happened?
Well, yeah, I guess I was the one that was having problems because subsequently I had problems with my computer. So if you can give me a quick refresher on what you said for the first 30 minutes, I can kind of comment on from there.
Yeah, absolutely. The idea, and I can actually say it rather quickly, John. Here is the deal. I was very inspired by the win that David Bart had over Cantor. Not that I believe in the values of David Bart, but that I saw money being beaten. And I know there are a lot of technical reasons that are deeper. In other words, I know there are some special reasons in there as well. But still, in general, the modus operandi has been that type of money trumping you cannot overcome, because there are things that kind of money can do. That kind of money can buy cars to bring people to the vote. That kind of money can have dinner waiting for folks who are going to be going to. I mean, that kind of money can do a whole lot. That, but grassroots and having folks believe in this value finally prevail. So come on in now, John, and make your point.
Okay, well, I guess I got a counter to that, which is some of it was written by Caroli on Crooks and Liars, and basically it's got its title called David Bratt Represents a Taliban-like Insurgency. So I'll start it from here. It says, one of the reasons, if not the biggest reason, Eric Cantor lost was he totally underestimated the dark money machine that was the real force behind David Bratt's campaign. The media is making it like Bratt had some sort of underdog. In reality, he's strapped to the hilt with billionaire support and billionaire money. In fact, you could argue pretty much he owes his job to people like the Koch brothers and their cronies, John Allison, the former CEO of BB&T Bank and the current head of Koch-founded Cato Institute, gave Bratt College a $500,000 fellowship in 2010 so he could teach Ayn Rand and libertarianism at Randolph-Macon University. Like hundreds of other college professors across the country these days, David Bratt is just a bought and paid for shill of Charles and David Koch and their buddies. The Koch and their networks have been funding academic institutions for years, most notably George Mason University's Mercatus Center, and because they know they had to bring up young academics in the libertarian money tradition in order to fully realize their political ambitions. Most significantly, Bratt received the full support of the conservative messaging machine from churches to right-wing talk radio like Laura Ingraham and Mark Levin. And it also goes on to talk about how Mark Levin, through the FFEC fund, the IRS disclosures have been given, all of the talk radio people have been given $22 million through sponsorships, and this is Beck, Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Limbaugh. So I think you're really
right.
Kind of miscategorizing this. I think the reason why Cantor lost was it's very simple. I mean, he just didn't go back to his district, and he was thought of is somebody who didn't care about his district. His approval rating was 30% in his district, and it's impossible to win an election when your approval rating is so low. I mean, it's so
okay.
rare for that to happen. And so
let
I
me
think
come
you're,
in right there. I hear you. Let me just kind of refute that a bit. First of all, that article is not at all in conflict with what I said, and let me tell you what I mean by that. Okay. And I think I got a glimpse of that thing on Daily Coast. I think somebody referred to that. But here is the interesting thing: the donation to the university or the not university but college, true. Laura Ingraham and these others, all true. Okay. Now those are the part. But let's be clear: the donation to the college has no impact on the current race. It has impact on ideology. It's no different than, let's say, Powell did. Powell from the Supreme Court that became the Supreme Court Justice from the Powell memo. In other words, laying the groundwork of indoctrination of a country via the Cato Institute, via the Heritage Foundation, and all these other organizations. The Koch brothers, I will give it to you. They are laying the groundwork in these areas to really indoctrinate. Now, my contention is about this current election, the way it was done. Remember, I have nothing in common with David Bratt. However, he did run that grassroots machine, while Eric did have even Fox News on his side, which is a lot bigger entity than, let's say, the Laura Ingraham or the Mark Levin or these others. They are niche market radio shows, while Eric Cantor had Fox News. Eric Cantor had a whole Eric Cantor had the blessing of the vast majority. So in general, when you find that kind of a umbrella around you, it's hard to lose. That's the reason why people still believe McConnell is going to beat Lundgren in Kentucky, which I don't think is going to be the case. But, again, I don't think it's going to be the case because I think the grassroots will, in the long run, if we can mobilize, if we can do our job, come to effect. I agree. This guy is going to have a whole lot of support from the Koch brothers. This guy is going to be a Koch brothers protege. But I am not talking about this guy's philosophy. I'm not talking about this guy, how he is. I'm talking about us being able to beat the establishment. I'm talking about us, if we decided that we're going to go out there, and like I was talking to Marianne about before, use all means available to go ahead and win this thing. And when I say win this thing, I mean win in your domain. We can. So I am still very, I accept what you say, John. I really do, because you're absolutely right. Hell, you're mostly, all the time that you come on here, you have the things to back you up with. But I think it's a bit deeper in that I do think the grassroots played a part. Not the grassroots that we want to see, but the grassroots altogether. Comment.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I was looking for, you know, if he actually had dark money, and it seems like, you know, there weren't any PACs that did advertising that anybody
right.
can find. And so, yeah, I mean, it is a surprise. But, I mean, again, I think it's really kind of a meaningless victory for the Tea Party, to be honest with you. I mean, Cantor is going to be replaced by McCarthy. Because, I mean, McCarthy's more of a traditional Republican than Cantor. I mean that's why the whole thing to me was kind of a joke. They acted like he was Cantor was some kind of Judas when he was the one that actually was talking about, you know, in within leadership of using the debt ceiling as a tool to try to inflict pain through austerity upon people.
John,
and
he's right,
done
John.
So many other things. He was the liaison between the Tea Party and the traditional Republicans. Now they don't have a liaison in the movement.
I don't think
this is a victory at all for the Tea Party. So I just don't think – I think it's pretty meaningless.
John, I'm sorry that you missed the first part. Because there's one little paragraph I want to read to you that came out. And by the way, the piece drops on Daily Coast tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Anyway, here's what I said. To be clear, David Brat beating Eric Cantor will change absolutely nothing. The Republican Congress is the least productive Congress in American history. Replacing a majority leader who was instrumental in the lack of productivity with a junior congressman who will likely play a minor role in governing the caucus is at worst an even swap. So I think that's in effect what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, I think McCarthy will actually be more of a traditional Republican. In fact, he was calling people the night that he lost and saying, because everybody was panicked, you know, because you've got to understand that, I mean, I know you do, that the traditional Republicans still dominate the party. I mean, you can say that the Tea Party, you know, has moved everything to the right, and that's correct. There's no doubt that they have. But a majority of Republicans still don't completely agree with the extremes of the Tea Party. And, you know, and they are, you know, severely extreme. And, you know, so to me at first I was a little bit concerned about it, but then I realized, you know, it's one seat of 435, and I just don't think it means anything. We talked about this earlier. Before, they were talking about how the Tea Party hadn't done well, you know, during the primary process, and then they did well in Texas, and then they did, you know, and then we had this Brat thing and McDaniel. But, I mean, overall, it hasn't been a good primary season for the Tea Party in general. I mean, they lost. Brown lost.
John, I want you to remember the show that I had, I think it was a couple weeks ago, where I said don't believe the hype about the Tea Party being out or something like that. I think you actually had a lot to say on that show, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're out. I mean, I think that this is actually a pushback. I think it's just like, you know, the fact that they lost so many races, that they had all their supporters basically said, we really need to get people out and we need to win some of these races. And also, you know, where they did well was in the Deep South. That's what their true roots are. That's where their that's where their strongest point is. And, you know, if you
right.
look at it, the 7th District of Virginia, it's mostly in rural areas with some areas, some parts of the richest areas, the most Republican areas of Richmond, and the rest of it is mostly rural and suburbs, which is a highly Republican district. And so
so I
just don't think that it means anything. And as far as the grassroots angle, you know, again, it's hard for me to celebrate that because, I mean, this is the wrong grassroots. I don't think that
I know. You know, John, I hear that in your John. I really hear that in your voice. I know that it is hard, and this is why I wrote the piece that I wrote, right? Because I really wanted to get that positive spin on this issue. Because there are two ways that you can look at any issue, right? You can always find a negative in an issue. But I felt it was necessary on my part to put this issue in the context of what those of us who want to do a certain thing can do if we put our minds to it. But Jack wants to come back. Jack, okay, Jack, come on in. What do you need to tell me, my friend?
I want to come in and say. Boehner is going to be more cooperative with Obama because
right.
Cantor was a ruse for Boehner. He was the obstructionist. He said no to any ideas that Boehner might have to work with the Democrats. Certain things like immigration.
I don't know if I agree with you, Jack.
But Boehner is not going to be so bad anymore. He'll be more effective as the House Speaker. Not the Speaker. Yeah, the House Speaker, yeah.
Yeah, the Speaker of the House, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that...
Now, Jack, I don't think I agree with you on that one, but we'll see. I mean, if that were to happen, I would be ecstatic, but I don't think it's going to happen because I think most people are going to take the wrong message from this particular win. That is one of the reasons I wanted to jump on it as well, because I do believe a lot of people are going to, for those of us on the left, I think are going to feel sort of depressed and sort of upset, like my good friend in San Antonio, John, and some of those on the right are going to feel, oh, my God, the Tea Party is getting entrenched. And I think none of that really, I mean, like John actually says, I agree with John, it really means little for the Tea Party. What it really, to me, what it does for me is it inspires me. I hate to just keep harping on that, but I'm inspired to go out there and really say, you know what, people still listen, you know. I mean, sometimes we have a tendency to believe that people simply just don't listen, and now my thought is, actually people do listen. But we're coming close to the end of the show, and as you guys know, I like to give everybody a last word, so I'm going to start with Marianne. Marianne, give me your last word, and then I'm going to go to Jack. So, Jack, please have something to say so that we can be ready to go. Go, Marianne. Marianne, I think you may be on mute.
I was on mute. I had muted myself so that the dog in the background wasn't. Anyway, I would like to think that John is wrong and that it doesn't mean any – that it does mean something. But like you, Alberto, I'm sure that there's a lot of reasons why this happened, but for me personally, what I'm taking away from it is that grassroots efforts are an effective tool, and it just gives me encouragement to do more work. And I'd like to think that other people might, you know, just look at that aspect of it too, and maybe it'll put some wind in other people's sails too. That's it.
Thank you very much, Maria, and that was excellent. Let's go ahead and close me out, Jack.
Yeah, I still believe that Cantor had his co-op come up since he was sort of an arrogant son of a gun. And I don't give a darn. He's the only Jewish Republican in the on the planet. So what? I say, and it's an all-white Christian, all-white Christian Republican lineup. You have a few women in there, but reactionary as well.
Yes, okay. Sir. Thank you very much, Jack. Thank you very much. I got to go. I love everybody, and everybody has that right to serve. Bob, give me your closing words, my friend.
Well, I think it's important to clarify that there are several levels. The federal level of the governments of the Congress, that's one issue. That's the Republicans and Democrats doing their thing. What Cantor lost was the fundamental grassroots element. I think we need to make a distinction between the grassroots and the crabgrass roots. The crabgrass roots is what I would call would call the negative or the regressive end of the Tea Party. That same end is the one that cannot stand the idea of immigration. It is also very closely allied with the fundamentalist Christian view, where other religions or no religion has no basis. That's a level of irrationality that numbers or belief in numbers simply cannot address. That's an emotional element. And the question is, how do we get the basic value issue of opposing corporate personhood and getting money out of politics, those values, how do we join together with that, with the Tea Party, when on the other hand they are an irrational group of people who are frankly, openly prejudiced, racially, religiously, and socioeconomically. This is a concern, and we need to reach across. We need to find a way to show that we have common interests and unite at the grassroots level, the real grassroots level, of getting people out to actually vote for our interests as opposed to the propaganda and emotionally driven stuff.
Bob, I love everything that you said. Thank you very much. I hope you come back. That is the kind of values that we need. That is the kind of wording. That's the kind of narrative we need. Thank you very much for being a part of this show, sir. John?
Yeah, I agree to a certain extent. I mean, I do want to see the grassroots, you know, actually rise up within the Democratic Party. Unfortunately, you don't see too many primaries, you know, from the left against, you know, centrist Democrats. It just doesn't happen that often. And so I would love to see that happen more often, and I would love to see, you know, this be repeated on the left. But I'm not really sure how realistic that is. I guess time will tell. One other little footnote I'd like to add is in the Texas Tribune poll, Elizabeth Warren finished second. She was still, I believe, 50 points behind Hillary Clinton, but this is the best finish she's ever had in any individual state poll. She finished with 15% of the vote, and if she does decide to run, you know, that lead is going to be, you know, narrowed quite a bit.
John, as usual, I'm sorry that you got here late. Your input is always, we always love your input. You always come ready with that input. Thank you very much, sir. Folks, please do remember that Coffee Party Radio has several shows. Specifically, let me get to those shows. We have on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern, Press 1 for Democracy with Dan Aronson. On Thursdays, we have at 3 p.m. Eastern, we have Lunch with Loudon. On Saturdays, of course, you're here with yours truly, Politics Done Right. Thank you very much, folks, for, as usual, giving us a wonderful show. Thank you very much for being a part of the group. Please consider being a part of Coffee Party USA. Please visit coffeepartyusa.com. Become a member. Please do remember that you can make a difference. It was shown in Virginia. You can make a difference. If we all get up, if we all brush off our old shoes and get out there, we not only can make a difference, but we will make a difference. I tell you, that is my passion, and I trust that it will all be the passion of us all. Thank you very much, and you all have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.